Greetings to each of you in Jesus' name. Say it's good to be in the house of God with the people of God. And thank you, Dale, for getting the whiteboard for me. I don't know how many of you like preachers' disclaimers and excuses and all of that. I got a list of them, but how many of you like them? I didn't think so. So we'll just keep moving. I would like to just give special thanks to those who have shared with meals and cards and encouragement over the birth of our son. We appreciate that and feel very blessed and unworthy of your support in that way. I enjoyed the songs this morning. Is the fire of God burning in your heart? How brightly is it burning? We ask it to light the fire. And that's a good prayer. Light the fire and turn up the fuel. I did travel a bit this week and thought I had the message figured out. And when I opened my Sunday school book, I decided that maybe we should go elsewhere. And so we went elsewhere this morning. Thank you, Dale. I suppose, let's see, is this the last week of school? Do we have any 10th graders here that this is their last year, last week of school? Anybody? All right. What did you learn in school? Got a few. What did you learn in school? I don't know if how far you can see that, if you can see that all the way to the back or not. But what is that? How do you know what that is? To varying, to greater or lesser degree, you know what that is. Somebody want to tell me what that is? You knew what it was. What does C stand for? Circumference, and this is called a what?
Formula.
And what's this thing? An N?
Pi.
And what does R stand for?
Three.
All right, to find the circumference, you take 2 pi R. Now, do another one just for and let's see, I probably a squared plus b squared equals c squared. What's that? How many know what that's called? What that is? All right, there's people smarter than me. I didn't have to guess that. I knew that, but I didn't know what that was. Formulas. We heard, how many of you were here last Sunday night? Well, that's a bad question. We saw, right? How many of you weren't here? Why do we have Sunday evening services on Mother's Day when half the people forget? But if you weren't here, you need to listen to that sermon. It was very good. It was practical for facing the questions in technology, and it was good. He said something, he just referenced something in there that I've been mulling over in my mind, and that is that a church should have a 200-year plan. Now, how many of you have seen that 200-year plan that we have? We are on our 251st year, maybe even into the second. At least it was the deed down there. By the deed, it says that it was deeded in 1775. And maybe actually was here a few years before that. I'm not sure how all that worked out back there. There's a lot of things that I don't know. I do know this, that the historical record, the history of the Shirksville Mennonite Church goes back real far, but the historical record hasn't been that greatly detailed over the years. I have one notebook that has some of the history in minutes, but it's really not even that big. And I wonder, what happened to all the rest of the information? So what is the vision for the Shirksville Mennonite Church? What is the vision? How many of you have a faith worth... let's back up. How many of you have something worth dying for? Something, okay? Now, what is that something? Would you die for your wife? Would you die for your husband? Would you die for your child or a friend or a cousin? Or would you die for some other acquaintance? Or are you willing to die for your faith in the Lord Jesus? What is something worth dying for? Now, one of the things I was thinking about is something that you have been given. And most of us, we enter a church where we didn't set the rules. We understand very little about church life. And, you know, we become a Christian like Tucker did this last week. And we're baptized into a church, and there's a lot of things that we don't understand. And as we grow up, we come to a fuller knowledge of even of our salvation, what that really meant. We have a fuller understanding of the church and what it's all about, of our mission, of our convictions, and it's a growing process, right? I believe that it's supposed to be. So in that growing process, there are things that we discover. Now, I ask you for the 200-year plan, and nobody had that. But I want to ask you for another thing. I'll write it here first. This is actually the message title. It's called Heaven's Formula. Sorry, I probably should have written that in caps. Heaven's Formula. And pardon my writing, but anyway, Heaven's Formula. What is Heaven's Formula? If you want, first of all, you say, well, explain your title, right? If you want to make it to heaven, what do you need to do? If we want to have church life that gets people to heaven, what does that look like? And then to have a vision for church life that gets people to heaven, how do we fill that out? On the way in the door, I guess it was providential, but I passed the entrance here and I have our decrees. Decrees for the Keep for the Pilgrim Mennonite Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ 2023. About these decrees, before the Pilgrim Conference was formulated, the ministry of the churches, which later became this conference, penned the following words: We respect the traditions and practices of the Mennonite Church that are expressions of the precepts and principles of the New Testament. We recognize, however, that it is possible for traditions to creep in that actually prohibit spiritual advancement and growth. Mark 7, 4 and 8. The only true standard whereby one may discern the validity of traditions is the Word of God. To blindly adhere to traditions of the past that have no biblical basis, or to recklessly abandon traditions that have well-expressed biblical principles, will rob us spiritually and guarantee apostasy. Do we want apostasy? No. We believe the church has a mandate to make applications to the teachings of the eternal Word of God, Matthew 16, 18 to 19, and Acts 15. The church should continue to examine new practices, inventions, and innovations, and weigh these by the principles of the Word of God to determine their value or their detrimental influence. That which is basically wrong should be prohibited. That which is good will still need direction. Where no biblical principles are violated or jeopardized, the church may safely conclude the issue is within the realm of Christian liberty. Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 8. We understand the place of a discipline, not as replacing the scriptures, but as giving a consistent, uniform practice to the principles of the scripture. This continues to be our vision today, the Pilgrim Mennonite Ministry. And then you have the table of contents, the article of faith, and then the standards. And I could be wrong, but I think Pilgrim wins the award for the biggest book. Do you know that? Probably the award for the biggest book. I might have mentioned that a few weeks ago. What is heaven's formula? What is our 200-year plan? First of all, how many of you think we were told last Sunday night that it was proposed to him by somebody that a church should have a 200-year plan. How many of you agree with that concept, that we should generate a 200-year plan? How many think we should not? How many think the plan is already generated? We just need to be a part of it. I think that's probably where most of us are. And so in a sense, heaven's formula isn't ours to generate. God has already generated that. But it's important for us to talk about what we've received. Is any vision that you've received worth repeating? Is every vision you received worth repeating? When I was newly ordained, I had a desire for regular brothers' meetings. And shortly after I was ordained and mentioned it, I found out that there was mainly one, probably two or three brothers that just had no time for brothers' meetings. And so over the time of being pastor here, I can probably count on my hands and not even fill up half my hand of how many brothers' meetings we have. Yet I know that there are churches that are really united with brothers' meetings. And why do they have those? And it's about bringing the vision together of the church. That can be part of it, or can be part of transferring the vision of the ministry to the people, to the youth, etc. And there's a lot of things that can happen in brothers' meetings. But in honor of the brothers and their opinions, I said, okay, that's fine. I briefly was a part of the Lakeview Mennonite Church Northeast after we got married, and they had them, and I saw the value there. But I also realized that the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. But the other thing is, if you push a vision, a conflicting vision, that can be destructive as well. We could look at the Bible verses for that. So we haven't done that. How many of you sisters know what it takes to bake a cake and do it by memory? Yeah, a number. How many of you men know what it takes to bake a cake and do it by memory? Anybody, raise your hand high. I saw some hands on the lady's side. Nobody. Why? Well, it's obvious, right? There are other things. There were men that had those formulas that I wrote up before, and I didn't see too many sisters' hands. But how many of you feel like you know what it takes to get to heaven? Raise your hand high. You know what it takes? All right. The next question is, and I don't know if I should ask for Ray, how many of you feel like that's what we teach at church? How many of you teach that at home to your children? How many of you are promoting this thing of what it takes to get to heaven? Now, the other question is, of course, what is that? And if we generated that list, what would you tell me to write? Now, I know in a sense this is broad, but where do we start? Where do we start to get to heaven? And this is elementary, this is basic, and I don't care whether you're 10 or 50. Where do we start to get to heaven? Somebody just throw it out there. All right. Realizing that we're a sinner. All right. Trying to think of sense of our sin. So that's the first step, right? What's the next thing that needs to be a part of it? Confession. What else? What's next? Repentance. I'm actually going to just call. There are steps of repentance, and I believe that's what we're talking about. I'm just going to call this. It starts with repentance, which begins with a sense of our sin. Now, one of the questions is, should we ever lose this? A sense of our neediness. Should we ever lose that? It's a question to think about. Should we ever stop confessing our faults? What's next? Sensing our sin, confessing. What's next?
Accept Christ as our personal Savior.
All right, accepting Christ. Actually, if you doubt or if you want confirmation, Jesus says in Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, what was his message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, okay? You have the opportunity to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is before you. What do you need to do? You need to repent. And where does repentance begin? Sensing our sin, confessing our sin. And then how was that again, Cliff? All right, John 3. In John 3, Jesus, and just turn with me to John 3. John 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say it unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The illustration of the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see what it does, right? Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe? I tell you of heavenly things. And no man ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. We know that that's, in a sense, what happened, but he did condemn the world as he lived here, but that wasn't the point. The point was, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he that hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, and this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God. All right, Brother Cliff said that part of the formula to heaven is being born again. The new birth. As you read John 3, as you studied the Sunday school lesson, what word came out again and again with the Christian life, being born again? If you're born again, you're born of what that looks like the wind? Spirit. I have a question. The Bible says that the Spirit of God will work silently and you're going to see the evidences. But do we give enough emphasis to the Spirit of God? I don't know that I have. I don't know that I do. And I know in a sense, the Bible says that the Spirit, which we just read, it's the wind that blows and you don't see it. It also says that the Spirit does not speak of itself. And there are people that shout and holler and lay on the floor and shake and carry on, and they say that's the Spirit. I can't tell you what Spirit that is for sure, but I do know that when the Spirit of God comes into the heart of a man and it changes who he is, that is the Spirit of God. And you can say, you know what, God did a work there. And it's amazing and wonderful. But to be born, being born again is to be born, and I want to put A as being born of the Spirit. Well, born of the Spirit. Why is that so critical? Because there are many spirits, and we could go to, I believe it's John, talks about this. There are many spirits, and right now in the world, I believe that we're entering an age of increasing deception. I understand that, and I don't even know who it was, someone from the government, I was going to say the State Department, but I don't know if that's just had a open meeting, and they invited a bunch of pastors, and they want to tell them about UFOs, and I don't know what all they told them, but it's the first drop of a bunch more information that they want to tell people, and they're telling people that we want to tell the pastors so people are prepared, because it's going to cause people who know God to fall away, and it's going to take people who are unbelievers, it's going to make them ask questions and help them to seek for God, and that's the, I don't know what you want to call that, the blabbing, that's the word on the street. It's a lot of questions. How many of you believe in the spirit world? Yes, we do. How many believe that there was a time when they walked on the face of the earth? What were the Nephilim? You can study that in the Old Testament. What does it say it'll be like when the Son of Man comes, as it was in the days of Noah? And if you look back at what was happening, there are things that we don't experience that I believe that are coming yet. Now, I don't know what you believe about dispensations. I was intrigued by the on Anabaptist perspectives, we have somebody who kind of more or less believes in not so much dispensations and kind of presented that way, and then someone came along and presented dispensations, and there was quite drastic reaction. I don't know what you believe about dispensations and the dispensation that was in the Old Testament and the several dispensations, the eras where God related differently to Adam and Eve in the garden than he did outside of the garden. And I know we've had that taught here. And so I believe that you probably believe in that. But the reaction against dispensationalism, and as we stand, and I know that the church has always felt like we're on the edge of Jesus' return. That was talked about this morning. We're on the edge of something that is going to be different. And yes, there were times, think back to the communist Russia, where in one day, the farmers were called to a meeting and the government said, this is our plan. And they said, no, you're not going to take our land. We're not going to go communist. It's not our vision. We're not going to give our stuff up to the government. And I don't remember if they raised the curtain or if they opened the door, but suddenly the soldiers were there and they said, give your land or give your life. It's your choice. And in a day, things changed. Well, there will be a day when Jesus comes and suddenly things will be different. We can't back the clock up. What is our plan that when eternity is here and heaven is revealed in the next dimension, what's our plan to be a part of that plan and to step with God through the ages, to be with him where he wants us to be? When Jesus came, Jesus broke into many different cultures. He broke into the Romans, he broke into the Jewish culture, and against their culture, there were people who dedicated their life to following him as his disciples. And it seemed like on a whim, but they were firm in that. Why could they make that transition successfully? And why were others who were so religious and yet couldn't make that change? Why did that happen? It's because of where people were in their daily walk with God. And I believe that if we're on the edge of a drastic change, and I'm not here to overblow that thing of, and yet I'm not here to understate it either. We do know we live in a spiritual world. We also know that if we're walking with God in repentance and being born again, and particularly this line of being born of the Spirit, if we're following the Spirit of God, just like we heard this morning, that what was the question in the Sunday school lesson about if God be for us, who can be against us, right? So no matter what we'll face, if we're born of the Spirit, it doesn't matter what happens tomorrow. And the people who were the farmers in the Soviet Union back then, they could make it, giving up their land. They could do that and be faithful because they were following the Spirit. If they weren't following the Spirit, how are you would be willing to just sign off on your estate tomorrow to back to the government? Would you be okay with that? And today, I don't believe that we should believe all the doomsayers, but there's people coming out of the woodwork saying all kinds of crazy things about what the government's up to. I'm not here to support that. I would just like to underline being born of the Spirit and following the Spirit, and that if we're doing that, no matter what comes into our life, we can be a part of God's plan for the next stage. And so as deception comes, wherever it comes, what does God say? If we're asking God how to think, he will open truth to us in the next page of our life, whatever that is. Born of the Spirit. I wonder sometimes if we've sidelined this for an alternate system to heaven. Okay? And maybe you've never went there, but if we can just make it a simple little book that if I'm not violating anything in the decrees, then I'm guaranteed a spot in heaven, right? Is that right to think that way? And then we could flip that the preacher stands up and says, if you're violating a thing in decrees, you're not going to heaven, right? Well, the Bible doesn't say either one, does it? So what is the authority? We know that the Word of God is the authority. Well, it's 5 till, it's time to close. We have a unfinished board, and we have church culture that it's up to this generation and the following generation to decide what that culture is. And I guess where I'm going with that is don't let something that you've been given that is broken stop you from being what God wants you to be in this generation. Okay? God works with every generation to take them forward into the future. And there are people that are still stuck in broken cults, in churches that do not honor God for who He wants them to be, because they're still trying to do what they were given to do. Is it a faith worth dying for? I think that's a question that we need to ask ourselves. And if I'm called to die for my faith, am I willing to do that? What else is on this list? We didn't get very far. And just for clarification, there are a lot of things done in this quote Spirit of God that I'm not going there, okay? I'm not supporting that. There's a lot of push toward revival and the new spirit, and it opens the door to all sorts of deception. But there's also a lot of dead churches who are just doing what they were given to do and checking the boxes, and it's dead and it's empty. And I'm not interested in that either. So what does God want for Shirksville? What does God want for my life? It's the Spirit of God alive and well. As I was traveling, I was struck with this thought, and we sang the song, Awake, Arise, O Church of God. Are we awake this morning? Most of you are seated, and that's okay. But I was also reminded of this thought, that there are watchers. There are watchers that, and I think sometimes the church is full of watchers. There's also warriors, people who are fighting, who are contending, who are in for the battle, for the long haul. There are warriors. And this morning we also heard that there are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. They are fighting, they're winning, and they're moving forward against the battle of evil. The question is, where am I in my journey? Well, Jesus, when he taught us, used parables. And I think Brother Dale told us this several times, and I didn't get it. But when I read it in the Bible, the disciples asked Jesus, why are you speaking parables? And he said, because I want people who are seeking for truth to find truth, and the people who aren't, it's way over their heads, and they're going to be where they want to be. And so the question is,